Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. You know, our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive, simply go to TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, it's the way tire buying should be.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
All right.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. Here's In the Bonus with Doug Gottlieb.
Welcome in, Doug Gottlieb, In the Bonus on the iHeartRadio app. Part of our show on Fox Sports Radio, and we're live here at Radio Row in the heart of Phoenix, Arizona. Jay Stu is alongside. We have a litany of quality guests for you that we're going to load up on this pod, so it'll be a good listen for you. Let me start with two things that happened last night, both in the heart of downtown Los Angeles at Staples Center. There was the weird Anthony Davis kind of experience. And there was LeBron James becoming the all-time scoring leader in the NBA. And the first thing I would say is the photo that Jay Stu put out there is ranks right there with the embarrassing actions of all of us. And it's a check yourself sort of moment. The photo is LeBron James hitting a fadeaway to become the all-time scoring leader in NBA history. And behind him, or behind the basket, viewing him, is what looks like, I don't know, if I was to hand count, 1,000 Laker fans. Of those 1,000 Laker fans, it felt like 999 had their cell phones out filming that historic moment. Mm-hmm. One, later identified as Phil Knight, founder of Nike,
yep,
did not. And look, I'm guilty of it too. Not necessarily at games. Okay, but I'm guilty of it too. Put the fucking phone down. Okay? Put the phone down and experience life. It's embarrassing. Hey, the guy scored more. You were there. Like, even LeBron James' kids, and I know he showed, they showed the video to their dad. Like, dude, you can hire somebody. Mm-hmm. The TNT will give you the footage. You don't need it. Just breathe and experience life.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing to all of us as a society that this is how we view historic events. We can't actually see them with our eyes. This, by the way, is my thing with tattoos, which is people always go like, you know, I say something with my tattoos, like as opposed to your mouth, you know, which you can say whatever you would like. You know, you have to say it with a tattoo like that one. I don't get either. But I don't know. This has nothing to do with sports or with LeBron. It has to do with all of us in life. And the great, you put it on the gram. Like, you can take a picture when you walk in, and mm-hmm. I mean this, and I'm not a special person. I'm as addicted to my phone as any other man, okay? But As you know, I got courtside seats from my dear friend Rick Cooper in Oklahoma City for Knicks Thunder, and this is going back Thanksgiving week.
That's right.
And my son was so excited. So excited. And I said, two rules. Okay? Two rules. Okay? Rule number one is that we got to get there early. We're not arriving like late. Like we want to get, we're getting there early. We're going to be respectful of everyone around us. These are not our seats. We did not pay for them. Rule two, you do not have your cell phone out. And he's like, well, can I just like send like a, I was like, all right, you can take a picture or two during a timeout, not during the game. We're going to watch the game and actually enjoy the game. This is a once in a lifetime experience. And I will also tell you that the game was a lot longer. There was just a lot more to it because there was a lot more to life than being on your phone. Like, I watched that. I just cringe at it. Cringe at it. And your photo perfectly embodied it.
It was it's one of those things where I don't know if it's a generational thing or what, but, like, just being there and telling somebody that you were there isn't enough anymore. A still picture to document that you were there isn't enough. To actually capture the one moment in time that you can never have back to witness again. No one's ever going to be able to see that in person again. And to have it a phone in front of you, that completely boggles my mind. I just don't understand it.
I don't either.
And by the way, so Doug did me a solid last night, retweeted my tweet. It's a picture with a circle, a yellow circle over Phil Knight. And I said, hey, in a sea of phones, I wanted to see this with my own eyes, guy, is my favorite image of the night. Thank you for everybody, the 9,000 people who told me, it's fucking Phil Knight, you idiot. Thank you for telling me that.
I just said Phil Knight. I didn't say you idiot.
No, yeah, you were nice about it. Most people weren't. So thank you. Now that I know it's Phil Knight, it's great, but my sentiment doesn't change. He's still the guy that chose to do it with his eyes.
It was outstanding. As for LeBron, here's the takeaway that I have that I think is important, which is, and I've said this about Tiger Woods, but obviously Tiger Woods has had off-the-course issues that LeBron has never had. But we need to stop and realize how amazing it is that a guy can be, we can be told he's the next great one. And he doesn't just achieve, he probably overachieves in comparison. And there were lofty expectations for LeBron James. But how many guys have we heard, that's the next great all-time great player. That's the next great, right? Mm-hmm. And they haven't. I remember when I was a kid growing up, this kid named Shea Cotton. And Shea was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was in eighth grade. He was supposed to be the next player to be a none and done, go straight out of high school to the pros. He never played a single quarter, didn't play a minute in the NBA. Okay, and this is not to take shots at Shea. This is more to point out that in our lifetime, there have been hundreds of next great guy, and some have made it, but never lived up to. LeBron has lived up to and exceeded anyone's expectations, and those expectations were lofty. I think that's part of the story. The other part is the weird AD thing. I talked to somebody with the Lakers today, and they're like, yeah, I think AD was just, he really wanted the moment to be about LeBron, and they all kind of stopped playing and just watched LeBron. But he was bothered by something, because it wasn't just that he was the only one not standing when LeBron hit the record-breaking shot. He wasn't even on the bench and had to be kind of ushered back to the bench for that moment. Something was going on there, and it didn't appear to be great.
One excuse he doesn't have. He doesn't have that, everyone is standing, everyone is in my way. When you're 7'2 or whatever, you can't have that excuse. That was a strange one. I need somebody to explain that. Somebody's got to explain it to us.
Yeah, that is an odd one and a curious one, and I don't know, but it doesn't. And there's the moment of LeBron telling him he loved him and loved playing with him, but it was just, again, something is up there that, and I know that Kyrie and his press conference, and we're all wrong and he's the victim, and I think Kyrie will be fine on his best behavior in day one, but what happens after that, we don't really know.
NBA fans, listen up. You gotta try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, Will a player have more than one rebound? Or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the code Doug. Take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the code Doug. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. And you want to talk about finding a great kind of niche in your career to then build upon. Jay Feely was an excellent kicker, and of course he's used that to become a specialist in covering games for CBS, now a full-fledged NFL analyst, and he joins us now on behalf of St. Jude, and we'll get to all that in a second, but what we saw from the Dallas Cowboys was amazing, because it's the mental aspect,
yes,
of it. When you're watching that all take place, what's going on in your mind?
Well, I'm feeling for Brett Maher, because I've been there myself. You know, but it's like a guy who all of a sudden can't make a free throw, you know, or a guy who misses a four-footer on the first hole.
No, listen, you don't do the golf analogy. You're sitting next to somebody who, when I was in high school, was a great free throw shooter. Just hold the ball, get fouled, win the game.
Yeah.
And then it just became like stage fright, and you mentally lost it.
You can't pull the trigger.
Right.
And you're not free, and you're not just shooting the ball. You're aiming, you're guiding. When you start hoping you're going to make it, that's when you're done.
Right.
You're not going to make it.
So, if you were the Cowboys, would you have – and he ends up making the field goal, but gets the extra point blocked, and it didn't look like it was
going – It was awful kick.
It was not going in anyway.
He was lucky that he got it blocked.
Would you have let it – would you have kept him? Would you have
I would have kept him at that point, just because he had a Pro Bowl year. You know, the guy was unbelievable all year, but he had one horrible game. I thought he would be okay going forward the next week. It didn't cost him in that game, obviously, but – you know, hopefully he can get over it. But I think of Chuck Knoblauch, who all of a sudden couldn't throw the ball from second base to first base. Or you've seen catchers who couldn't throw the ball back to the pitcher. They just get that mental block.
So how do you overcome it?
Mentally. I mean, you know, you and I know, like, you have to train yourself mentally. You can't think about the implications of what you're doing. You have to trust the process, focus on the fundamentals. But that's all easier said than...
But the kicking thing is so weird. I talked with a GM, and I'll actually tell you who this GM was. It was Tom Telesco. Remember, they had Younghoe Koo.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Younghoe Koo his first year, and he's like, I knew it. I should have, you know, stuck with a veteran. Only in that, he said, kickers are almost better, always better, their second or third home. like just kind of seems like
Daniel
the way,
Carlson,
right?
Played two games for the Vikings. They drafted him. They cut him, and then he goes to the Raiders, become a Pro Bowl kicker.
But why,
sometimes you got to fail.
Yes.
To get over the fear of failure.
But sometimes you fail and you can't get over it.
That's right.
And it's hard to tell what a guy's going to do. Huh. Did you work with a sports psychologist?
I did when I started.
Yeah.
A guy named Bob Rotella, who's actually worked with a lot of golfers, he wrote a book called Golf is Not a Game of Perfect. It's my favorite book I ever read for kicking. And I just took all those fundamentals. I actually spent a weekend with him after my rookie year and then just really kind of developed a routine that would help me mentally not allow my mind to wander.
Well, you're also here on behalf of St. Jude. And obviously, I think most people know about the great deeds that St. Jude does. But fill me in on this week specifically.
Well, this week specifically, we have a big gala tomorrow that we're going to host. We're going to give Holly Long an award for what he's done in the community. And they hopefully will raise $1 million. They've raised $10 million. Rick has done an unbelievable job of helping St. Jude raise the money. Here's why it's important, Doug, to raise the money. My brother calls me 3 years ago and says his daughter, my niece, has cancer. And they don't know what to do, where to go. We end up getting him hooked up with St. Jude and Dr. David Hoff, who is the best surgeon for that specific tumor, Wilms tumor, that she had. And they were amazing, helping my family understand what to do and then taking care of them when they got there. And the thing I didn't know about St. Jude was that those families don't pay anything. They fly them there. They put them up for the time of their treatment and their surgery and aftercare. They do the surgery, and they help them with the aftercare, and they don't pay a penny. My brother was a teacher, and that was the second question. Like, how do I help my daughter? How am I going to pay for this? And once I found that out and found out that every family that goes to St. Jude doesn't pay anything, I was all in and helping them in any way that we could. And, you know, I've seen it firsthand how amazing they are and how great the need is for those families going through that.
Rick, he mentioned not only your own philanthropy and also the time that you've dedicated to it. What's behind that? Why have you become so involved?
Well, my father was one of the founders of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, so we go back all the way to the 1950s when this whole idea was formulated. I love what it stands for. It was all about healthcare equity. And so, you know, St. Jude was intentionally put in a segregated city in the 1950s and the 1960s to address racial disparities in healthcare. And we welcome kids from all races from day one when we opened our doors in 1962. And, you know, today the next frontier, Doug, is the world. I mean, the single biggest determinant of whether or not a child survives cancer is where that child lives. So now we want to help the 400,000 kids around the globe that get cancer have the best chance of survival like we do here in the United States.
And I know since 2005, the gala has raised $10 million for St. Jude. But if somebody's sitting at home, like, man, I can't get to Phoenix. I can't be part of the gala. How can you help?
You just go to our website, St. Jude, STJUDE.org, and you can make a donation there or you can learn more about our mission.
I'm gonna have you put on your analyst hat for just a second.
Let's go.
Okay. Eagles got a stacked roster.
Best roster in the NFL.
But they – Niners better?
No. I said at the beginning of the season, best roster in the NFL. They got the best offensive line in the NFL. They got the best defensive line in the NFL.
Agreed on those two.
They got two excellent receivers. You got a really good tight end. You got corners that can cover man. I mean, like, it is a deep, deep roster.
Very, very good roster. On the other hand, haven't played – they played the easiest schedule. They just have, not through no fault of their own, right? Just how it lays out and some of the injuries and some of the teams they played. The Chiefs, I don't think, have nearly the roster that they have even had in the past.
It's true.
But they have the cheat code. And they have a style.
You have this game pegged. He's listened to me do a bunch of these interviews today, and that's pretty much what I've said in every one of those interviews. At the end of the day in these games, the best player has to make those plays. I think Patrick Mahomes is that guy. I think the Eagles have a better team collectively. Chiefs are so young. They have so many rookies playing. But with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback making those plays, I just feel like he's going to make the plays at the time that he needs to win that game.
This is going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. Congrats on all your success.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
With our folks at BlackRock. And, Rick, thanks so much for all you do. Remember, you go to St. Jude's website. And, guys, thanks for helping out with St. Jude's. It's just an awesome, awesome thing for so many families that are so in need.
Great to see you.
Thank you, Doug.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses.
The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Just an honor to be joined by a man who's represented his state and, of course, has represented TU in the NFL and in the Hall of Fame. He's Steve Largent. He joins us. And Steve, I would be remiss if I didn't bring in Dan Beyer. Okay? Dan has his own show on weekends, but he's also part of my show. But we love to give him grief because he's from the state of Wisconsin. Yet he is a lifelong Seahawks fan.
Oh, wow.
Okay? But the answer to why he's a Seahawks fan, well, go ahead, Dan, if you want to tell the story.
You may know. But this also isn't the first time we've met. We met in November of 1984 when I was seven.
And it's like, oh, yes!
And the Seahawks went to Milwaukee County Stadium, beat the Packers, and Dave Craig's dad knew my mom, got us tickets. After the game, met Dave, met you, met other players, picture with Jim Zorn. My sister's got braces and hair up to here. So it's from that point that I've been a Seahawks fan, lifelong. Remember the win over the Dolphins in the 83 playoffs, you know, the loss next year. You know, the heart.
Of course, Dave Craig's from Wisconsin.
That's why. Yeah. His dad and my mom worked together, and he lived about 20 minutes from my hometown.
Is that right?
And that's how I grew up a Seahawks fan in Packerland.
Well, I still talk to Dave. I probably talk to him at least once or twice a year.
Sure.
Not every month, but once or twice a year. And I think he lives down here in Phoenix or outside Phoenix somewhere.
Yes. Yeah, we haven't stayed in touch as, you know, as a family, but that was the genesis of my lifelong fandom. So if you want to talk anything about, you know, from 83 on, because, you know.
No, I want to ask, like, I think what people forget, and we love to talk about how the Seahawks used to be in the AFC West, right? But you were part of the expansion Seahawks, right? Weren't they?
Right.
That was the first year of
the
team?
That was the first year, yeah.
And 1976. It's hard to fathom because, you know, we're talking about you know, the two teams today, obviously you have an AFL team and a longtime NFL team in the Eagles playing in the Super Bowl. What was it? What was 76 like when you show up at camp as a fourth round draft pick on this expansion team?
Well, okay, so first of all, I was a fourth round draft pick by the Houston Oilers.
And they cut you?
They cut me in training camp, and then they ended up, they cut me, and then they tried to work out a trade with either, I think it was the Seahawks or Chicago Bears, or maybe San Francisco, and maybe San Francisco 49ers. And the Seahawks said, we'll give you an eighth-round draft choice, and they said, go. And so I didn't know that till I got home, because I drove my car home from Houston to Tulsa or Oklahoma City. And they called me and said, you've been traded to Seattle. And what nobody knew was that my college coach was Jerry Rome, great quarterback from Tulsa University, that he had left University of Tulsa and was a quarterback receivers coach for the Seahawks. And he was the one that implemented the trade. And so I go up there, and this was unbelievable. Jerry had implemented our entire passing game from the University of Tulsa in the Seahawks game plan. So when they said, I write 76, I knew exactly where to break and where the ball was going to be and everything like that the first day of practice.
Had that not happened, what would your career have been like?
I would have been working in the oil and gas industry, I'm sure. Yeah.
Wow. Probably making a lot more money, by the way, than playing the NFL back then.
Well, that's for sure. For my first year in the league, I made $28,000. So that was not very much money.
You wore that one-bar face mask forever.
Two bars. Yeah.
Didn't anybody go like, that's probably not the best thing for your health, Mr. Largen?
Well, in all honesty, I didn't get hit very often in the face because I knew where the defensive back was. But one time I did, and that was when Mike Harden hit me and hit me with his forearm, which he had padded up, hit me in the face mask and broke my face mask and knocked out two teeth. So that's my favorite play is when they came to Seattle then and I hit him. And
it was magic.
Yeah,
it truly was. And unfortunately, it needed an interception to do it, you know, but you got your revenge.
I hit him,
and he knocked the ball loose.
And he fumbled, and I recovered, all good.
And not to skew negative, but in 1987, like, you guys wouldn't lose at home. And growing up in Wisconsin, your Monday Night Football maybe once or twice a year, you know, Sunday Night Football. I didn't see all your games, but you wouldn't lose at home, and then the Raiders come to town. Like, I remember shooting my mouth off on the playground that day, like, because Mark LeDuc liked the Raiders, and I was a Seahawks fan. And then stupid Bo Jackson goes and does his, like,
and then runs into the tunnel, like, runs out of the stadium.
Can you tell me what that light night is like? You know, like, I mean, because
and honestly,
40 years, we're still seeing stupid highlights from it.
But you guys tell me if I'm wrong. In our childhood, okay, so we're kids watching you play. Two Monday night games are the most memorable regular season game. Dolphins beating the Bears, right?
Yes.
And that Bo Jackson game.
Yeah.
What to piggyback, what was that like, that game like?
Well, it was surreal because that was also Brian Bosworth's rookie year.
Right.
And
that's when Bo drove him into the end zone, right?
Yeah.
Bos didn't have leverage, but I digress.
It was a lesson to everybody, not only about what Bo Jackson could do, but, you know, how good our defense was. And it was not very good against the Raiders that year. So it was a surreal experience, and one you don't want to experience when you're on your home field and get beat that way.
What when you watch now, obviously the passing game has evolved so much. And even the quarterback play has evolved, as we're seeing. I mean, you look at what Philadelphia is doing, which, you know, you're running 11 on 11, almost some throwback going to even predating you in terms of 11-11 football, quarterbacks and run, but then you evolve the passing game with it. What are your thoughts on the state of offensive football from somebody who's a Hall of Famer?
Well, I think the game is at a high point. And I love to watch the game more today than I ever did because they're throwing it. And I love to see the ball thrown. Now, it's really, I mean, I think, and Philadelphia is a classic case of this, is a team that can run or throw it.
Sure.
And they could run it really well. And that's why I think, if I were asked, who do you think will win? I think if Philadelphia's offensive line and defensive line plays the way they can, Philadelphia will win the game. But Patrick Mahomes is the X factor. He can throw that ball. He's got receivers that can catch it, and he's just a real competitor. I love the way he plays. But I still think that in a Super Bowl, it's going to come down to, you know, who can run and who can play defense.
What would you do? Because what you left as touchdowns leader, consecutive games leader, receptions leader.
Yardage. Yep.
What would you have done now, do you think?
You mean how would I have done?
Yeah.
I think I would it would transition pretty well.
Yeah.
Cooper, is Cooper Kupp the parallel in terms of?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's a white guy and I'm a white guy.
Yeah, I know. But also could play inside and play outside as well, right? Some guys can only play one or the other.
Yeah.
He could move you around.
Yeah. I think that's a fair comparison. And Cooper's from Washington State.
Yeah.
He went to Eastern Washington University where we had our training camp.
You could see the ball, though. Like, you know, who does that in this
game?
Well,
you know, the question that you need to ask is, would I wear gloves today?
Would you?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, have you ever caught with those gloves?
Oh, yeah, but it's incredible.
It is incredible.
Yes.
It is totally incredible.
It is incredible. Brady, what do you marvel about with Brady?
His longevity, for number one. Number two, how he can keep getting up for game after game after game. And I don't know if he'll – I think he's done. Didn't he announce his retirement?
He announced he's done.
Yeah. So.
But he also said he's taking a year off before broadcasting, which means people go, well, maybe somebody will call him and want to come back next year.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. I think – I mean, your body can only take so much. And I knew my last year, for example – I was told by somebody, it was a veteran player too, that told me, if you're going to announce your retirement, announce it before you play your last year, not after you play, because it's too easy to double back if you do it after the season. Yeah. So I did. I announced my last year, that this was my last year. I'm done. And they, you know, had celebration, all that stuff at the end of the year. And so it was over. And I think that was a wise move on my part, because I played 14 years and I didn't have any more years left. I was done.
What does he get us?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. I thought you were talking about Brady. I thought you were talking about Brady. He gets us. That's a campaign to and this is unbelievable, because I know how expensive commercials are for the Super Bowl in particular, but throughout the playoffs, they've been running ads to simply communicate who Jesus is. And I just think it's a great campaign to talk in layman's term about the Jesus of the Bible and his love and compassion for people. And I think it's just a message that is right on time and is very applicable in our society today.
Well, Mr. Largent, I don't say Mr. for many people, right? But Oklahoma State, we say Mr. Iba, and we say Mr. Largent. It was absolutely an honor and a pleasure to catch up
with you.
Thank you,
Doug.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We're joined by our favorite TikToker, right?
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm the only TikToker, you know.
In the sentences that you didn't think that you would say, right? But she gives us the weekly updates, whether it's college football, SEC, or the NFL ones. Annie Agar joins us, of course, on behalf of Bally Sports. And last year I asked you, but last year LA it still wasn't back kind of jumping, you know, in terms of post-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and your stardom has grown even more. What's it like to walk around town where you're not a quasi, you are a full-blown celebrity?
It is. Well, thank you, first of all. It is so cool. And people ask me that all the time, if I'm exhausted from people coming up and wanting pictures or saying hi. Absolutely not. I've only been doing it for two, you know, it's only been a thing for 2 years because of COVID, and I wasn't really getting around and meeting people. So being out here is so cool, and having people recognize me and say they love my videos is probably the single best compliment I've ever gotten.
All right, so what do you got working for us with Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, my
telling
gosh.
Us that he's going to spend 4 days in a dark room alone.
You know what, Doug? I tried to defend this man, and I have tried. So many times that I'm exhausted. I can't do it anymore.
Can you think of anything more miserable than four days in a dark room
alone? Yes, being a Packers fan.
No, yep. No. Being a Vikings fan.
Oh, that is
way
pretty
worse
painful.
Than being
that
a, way worse than being a.
There's a choking hazard on that one. Yeah. Jeez.
No, I thought the fraud alert one that you did this season was among like it's hard to pick which is your best line, but that one was.
Thank you.
That one was there.
It was hard to come up with so many different things that related to fraud because it kept happening,
yes.
And we kept saying, and then like the Giants were frauds, and I'm like, people stop being a fraud because I used like tax fraud and credit fraud, and there was only so many things I could do that related to fraud.
What's the fan base that's most fun to tweak?
That's a great one. I think Dallas, just because they're like, you know when you make fun of your little sibling and they give you a reaction, you do it again? That's exactly how Dallas is. They slide into my DMs and they're like, well, technically, you know, it happened on the field. Everybody saw it. I'm going to make fun of it. I'm sorry. That's just how it goes.
Okay. And then what's the one that's the... That you actually caution yourself against because you almost feel bad making fun of them.
That's a good one. You know, I watch how other fans react to those fans. So if people start feeling like the Lions, obviously everybody feels bad for the Lions, but they're still fun to make fun of because I have a personal connection with them. You know, like my family are all Detroit fans, so they're fun to make fun of. But if the fans are really beat down and sad, I try to take it easy on Detroit a little bit because I feel bad for them at the end of the day.
Nick Sirianni feels like a cartoon character. Right?
He does.
Like, I'm sure before he was head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, he was like a normal guy. And then all of a sudden now he's like a WWE cartoon character come to life over there, grabbing his crotch, yelling out it, dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, WWE fits because it's scripted too. So
yeah, it is scripted. Yeah. So do you have the script? Like, when do you get the script for the NFL season?
Well, you know, I got it after all the players because I'm not as high up on the list. You know,
yes.
I will say that my script says that Jalen Hurts will win the MVP. So just throwing that out there. I did have a future bet on the Eagles, so throwing that out there as well. But, you know, I feel like they probably hold things out on the script because I would make a lot of money if I knew it was going to happen.
But it helps you write your work that you have the script.
Yes.
So that you know.
True.
You know before
all
the week.
All my videos are pre-scripted. Yeah, you don't even know.
It's exactly
the work is nothing for me.
I can't wait to know what's going to happen next year, which you will know before next
exactly.
year.
Exactly. And all the videos will be pre-recorded.
What's next for you? I asked you this last year.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
So we're working on, I want to get more content out than just a weekly video, right? But it's the format of the weekly video is so nice and so condensed and I can get all the jokes in that way. So I think what we're going to do is do sort of a podcast or a show next and just kind of elaborate on the videos and maybe go more in depth on how I got to that joke and have like a little roasting section on there where I can do more. Because there's about a minute of each video I take out because I try to keep it down to 2 minutes.
Okay, so the videos are 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. How long do they take to write? How long do they take to make?
I research, so I watch all the games Sunday. Monday morning, I'll wake up at like 6 a.m. and research till about 3. And then I shoot my video from 3 to 6. And then I edit during Monday Night Football. And then I probably am done with the whole video around midnight that night. So it is 8.
So Monday all day is like your hell day?
Yes, it's a terrible day.
And then Sunday is not your hell day, but you have to watch every game because you have to know all these individual...
And I'm reading like fan pages
and what people are
talking about. So.
But the rest of the week, what do you do?
Drink. No, well, it's like Monday. So then Tuesday I post the video. Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday is technically kind of a day off. During college football, I do stuff on Thursday for college football. Friday we do pregame stuff or, you know, before the games on the weekend. And then it just kind of circles all back again. Saturday was keeping up with all college football
when
stuff.
When you shoot it, it looks like a hallway in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Uh-huh. I do have like a studio. So I got a bigger apartment in Chicago. So I have a studio room. But it's literally just a corner of that room.
And can it, like, I think you have to keep that as your signature thing, right?
I think so, yeah. I think the white backdrop, because then the jerseys stick out more.
Yeah, but plus there's just kind of an organic feel to it.
Oh,
and
good.
It's just a thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to try and come in and sponsor you up and do a set. But I don't know. I feel like that's your... It's your niche,
mm-hmm.
and live it up.
And that's why Bally's has been great. And I told them, you know, this is my brand. These videos are. If we start putting it out on, you know, whatever network I'm on someday, if I keep hopefully going up, if we put it on that network, or it might look like the network's producing it, which won't feel organic to me. And then the jokes won't be coming from me. So I wanted to make sure that brand and that image is, you know, the videos are my big thing.
You mentioned your family, and we've talked about this before, lifelong Lions fans.
Mm-hmm.
Week 18. To beat Aaron Rodgers in what could be his last game ever or his last game at the Packers, definitely kept them out of the playoffs. And it's weird now because now, like, you're kind of making fun and having fun at the whole league's expense. So your own fandom kind of, you know, marginalized a little bit.
Yeah.
What was that like, though?
Well, I will tell you, my brother blocks. He does this every year. He blocks me when the Lions and Packers play each other. He blocked me on Twitter. He texted me that morning, and he was like, do not talk to me until the Lions win tonight. And I'm like, okay, yeah, good luck with that. Or, like, oh, we're never going to talk again. And then they won, obviously. And he has not made me forget it since then. Like, he's texted me probably every morning. Like, hey, remember that Week 18 game? It's great. It's fun.
You know, that's like my brother and I, we used to play ping pong all the time. And I had beaten him like 31 straight times. And then he beat me once. And he's literally never picked up a ping pong paddle ever again.
You just crushed his hopes and dreams.
No, and then he's like, nope, I won the last one.
So
that's all that matters.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so for him, he can stop being, he's like, nope, stop being a Lion. We're not talking Lions Packers anymore. He got the win.
He just wanted one dub.
Okay, so you said you had a futures bet on the Eagles.
Yep.
When did you make that futures bet?
Week one, before week one. I'm telling you, I had Eagles from the start. I bet like $20 on them.
And what was the odds?
I don't even remember now. It was pretty good. They were everybody's favorite for a while, I think, at the start there.
Yeah, but
I wish I could remember what it is.
Yeah, that's,
I have to look at my account.
It's kind of important.
Yeah.
Is there a prop bet that you like? I always marvel at that. Like, let's do how long the national anthem is.
We were talking coin flip the other day, and I said tails. Everybody's pretty sold on tails.
You're a tails never fails person?
I am tails never fails.
I always went
heads. The last four times, it's been tails.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I would go tails. But I do like anytime score, too. So I'd say, like, you know, either QB to score.
I have a weird question for you.
Yes.
Okay. So the stardom thing has come on very, very quickly. Do you practice your autograph?
That's a great question. No, but I probably should because I just signed something and it looked like crap. So yeah. I probably should work on
now,
that.
Like, now you're a star. You have to practice your autograph.
Think about that.
It's kind of a.
Do I do a little heart at the end or a little smiley face?
No, because you got to be able to. You got to be able to have the full signature quick. And then the really quick one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true. This one took a long time too. I got to work on that.
Yeah, you do. I mean, these are things you have to prepare for.
Practice.
Over and over and over.
This is what I prepped for. These hours in English class where I was writing my name in different form, that's where did that go? What a waste. High school was a waste.
Least favorite class in high school?
Math. Geometry, I loved. I tutored geometry. Hated math, though. Any other, what were the other ones? Algebra? Hated it.
What were the other ones?
I don't even remember. I don't even use them. Stats class? Terrible.
Oh, stats was terrible. Stats was college. I was not
what
good.
Was your least favorite?
I didn't mind math. I mean, now I go back. My kids, I have two girls in high school, and I'm like, I kind of like learning. What are you guys studying? Like, can I get in on this?
You just do all their homework for them.
I think it was Spanish, but it wasn't my Spanish teacher's fault.
Okay.
It was like my freshman year. We had to do an assignment on a Spanish-speaking country, and I did mine on Brazil. They don't speak Spanish in Brazil. They speak Portuguese in Brazil. Needless to say, I didn't do particularly well.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's something.
There was one time, quick story, there was one time in college I had to write a book report on this big, long book. I'm a big procrastinator, so I kept it off all year.
Right.
And at the end of the year, I wrote the report on, I couldn't even tell you.
Okay.
Don't even remember. Wrote the report off of Spark Notes. And my professor gave me an A, got it back, and on the back he wrote, "This sounds like a great book. I should read it sometime." I was like, yep, me too.
mine is one of my closest friends in high school, this guy, Rafi Lalazarian. His brother went and played, it was a year younger, and he went and played in college as well. And we're all on the same team. And my last day of school, my senior year, we were turning in our final paper for AP English. And it was on The Natural.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the movie The Natural?
Nope.
Okay. At the end of The Natural, Robert Redford hits a home run. It hits the lights and all the lights go out.
Okay.
He's the hero. They win the World Series.
Okay.
So he wrote his paper on the symbolism of the lights exploding.
Yeah.
Here's the only problem. The book ends completely differently where the same character strikes out. He throws the game. He strikes out. He gets thrown out of baseball. So we're literally at AP English was in third period. This is at the end of first period. We're walking to second period. And I said, what'd you write your paper on? He told me. And I was like, hey, dude, you're sick. I was like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. And I said, no, go home. You're sick. Rewrite your paper. You wrote it about the movies. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, dude, that's not the way the book ends.
Well, man, what a good friend you are.
I was a good friend.
I may have let it go and see how funny it was.
He helped me cheat in typing class, so it's literally the least that I could do. All right, do you have a an update dropping this week?
I do. After the Super Bowl. There will be a recap meeting for the Super Bowl, and all the teams will be involved. That's what the thing people are like. Oh,
all 32?
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna bring them all in and kind of rehash their season, because who doesn't love to remember the pain that they went through all season?
I think that's great.
I enjoy it.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Great, Annie Agar. Annie, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The Jets' Solomon Thomas joins me. I want to start with David Shaw, a guy you played for at Stanford.
Yep.
He calls it, I guess, I don't know if a career, but he calls it a day at Stanford. What's it like to play for him?
Playing for Coach Shaw was a great experience. You know, talking about a guy who cares about you as a person more than an athlete, you don't get that much. Like, you know, you have these conversations with him in the locker room, you know, around the building, and it's more about, hey, what your class is like, you know, what are you interested in, like who you are as a person. Like, he gets to know you as a person so he can fill you out and see what's best for your future. Like, obviously, he pushed me as a player. He taught me so many things as a player, as a competitor, you know, how to handle myself, you know, how to be great, you know, how to chase greatness, all those things. But more of what stuck with me is how he cared for me as a person, and that motivated me to play for him. That motivated me to come to the building every day and have juice for him. Like, you care about a guy like that.
Why do you think it fell apart though?
You know, it's tough. There's a lot of coaches leaving the building. You know, we lost Coach Charlie, our strength coach, and, you know, he was a huge part of who we were. But honestly, the recruiting part of Stanford is really hard. It's not easy, and NIL and the transfer portal have made it harder. You know, the same pitch, you know, to where it was, you know, Stanford's a 40-year decision, not a 4-year decision. It's not working as well anymore because guys, you know, they can go get $200,000, you know, their freshman year of college. You know, they don't really – a degree doesn't hold as much weight to them anymore. So it's different.
Should it, though? I mean, and from the standpoint of, like, it feels – the NIL feels a little bit like sugar, right? Mm-hmm. It makes you feel good right away.
It does.
But then when you're done – yep. You know, like, you have Stanford in your back pocket whenever you want to call it a career.
100%.
They don't. But, you know, again, that's a hard – it feels like is all – it's chased a really, really good man out of an incredible institution because at some point you throw your hands up and go, like, it's just a lot.
And exactly. And I can't sit here and speak for the players and be like, you know, a Stanford degree is worth more than – so I don't know the guy's situation, whether his family's struggling and he needs that $200,000 right now. That's a whole different scenario that we can get into. But I can't speak for him. But I do believe that a Stanford degree at the end of the day will be worth more than that $200,000. You know, that's just me. I'm biased. I'm a Stanford guy. I have the Stanford connections. And I love that place to death. So I'm going to say that. But, yeah, no, Coach Shaw, his legacy at Stanford, I don't know if he'll ever be surpassed. You know, the things he did, the games he won there, the winningest coach in history, the draft picks he created, you know, he is a legend there. And, you know, we'll forever hold that regard there.
He's a great human being. Great, you know, as well as a really, really bright football coach. And hopefully the game, you know, maybe gets back in the NFL side of the game, or we'll see. For you, I want to go back to Raiders season coming off the ACL. Yeah. That was a wild year last year, right?
Wild year.
I mean, all the off-the-field stuff.
It was crazy.
Lose John Gruden. Win, get in the playoffs. But I got to ask about that Week 17 game.
Yeah.
Or Week 18 game. You're playing the Chargers, and you it's like you couldn't finish them.
Yeah.
Right? Fourth down after fourth down after fourth down. You've played a lot of football.
A lot of football.
Okay? Played in gigantic games in high school, gigantic games in college. You played for three franchises, and I want to get to the Jets this year, but have you ever played a game like that?
That was a crazy game. I don't know if I played in a game that came down to overtime the very last second. Like, in high school, college, it was different because, you know, you had the each guy has his possession. But in the league, I've never had a game like that. And just, like, every fourth down, Herbert just slinging it. I'm like, dang, this guy's the truth, man. It was crazy. And our offense was just balling. DC was going crazy. You know, it was a fun game. And the crazy part is at the end is I didn't know this until, like, a week after the game, is that we were going to kneel the ball and take a tie. And then, you know, Josh Jacobs got that first down. Or, no, it was Jalen Richard got that first down run. And they called the timeout. Then Jalen Richard got that first down run, and we win the game. And I didn't know that. I was like, oh, wow, we were both about to go to the playoffs. And then they called that timeout. So it's crazy, but it was a wild game.
Okay, so you'd been in two different environments in the NFL, the Niners and then the Raiders.
Yep.
What was the Jets like? And obviously, I know you know Saleh from your time together with him at the, in San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
What your initial experience in New York was what?
My initial experience in New York was very, it was like a, kind of like a homecoming in a sense, because it felt a lot like San Francisco. Saleh really, I really felt like he tried to shape that same culture that John and Kyle did in San Fran. You know, you bring in great, great character guys, great high talented guys who love the game of football. You know, you surround them with, you know, people are going to take care of them, whether it's a strength staff, you know, medical staff, you know, give them a lot of resources and options to take care of their body, take care of, become the best pro they can. It's very similar to San Fran, and I felt like it was like just stepping in there like it was nothing. Like I was transitioning, like get in the locker room, find best friends like first few days there, and that's rare. Like, you know, it's hard to move from team to team in this league. It's hard to create long-term relationships, and I was able to do that right away, and it felt like a very special culture that he was creating there.
What was that defensive room like after Zach Wilson said he didn't think he let the defense down?
You know, definitely you hear that, and you're like, you know, like there's a correct answer to that question, and Zach missed it, and we understand, you know, Zach's young, and he came in and he apologized to us, and we're like, yeah, we got your back, man. Like, we know you didn't have any ill will, you weren't trying to say anything bad towards us. You know, you're young, you have a lot of pressure on you, all the critics, New York media, everything is on you. You know, so we definitely forgave him, and we had his back after that in the locker room, like guys checking on him, making sure he's all good. You know, he's a young kid, he's young, he has an extremely talented arm. Yes, he needs to develop more, but he's not a bad person. He doesn't have bad character. His teammates like him. It's not what all the media was saying about him. You know, we wanted to check on him. We want to make sure he's okay. But he definitely messed up in that situation, and guys messed up, and we had his back.
Okay, so now there's the question of who do you add? And Saleh even said we're going to bring a veteran. Now, that's a very open term. Like, it could be a veteran mentor, but it's probably a vet who can play.
Yeah.
And most people think of three possibilities, right?
Yeah.
Two of whom you've played with.
Yeah, yeah.
One of whom, obviously, you've played against.
Yeah.
What's the best fit for the Jets?
You know, like Saleh said, like, you know, what he said, like, we need a veteran quarterback to come in here and lead this team to win, and someone who's done it before. You know, I played with Jimmy, got us to a Super Bowl before. Derek Carr has done this in the league, started 9 years. He's a guy who can get it done. Aaron Rodgers, obviously a Super Bowl winner. He can get it done. You know, I don't know the exact best answer or who's the best fit for our offense, for our new offensive coordinator. You know, but I know all three of those guys are winners, and any of them we can win with.
You're a nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award with the Defensive Line Foundation. There's a lot of honors you can achieve in football. That might be the best. Mm-hmm. What's it mean to be on that list?
Oh, it means the world. You know, it means so much. And one thing is, like, all the nominees, like, you know, just to be – that's what makes it special. Like, I read all the nominees' bios, and I see what they're doing. Like, I see the way that Brandon Graham was introduced, and all the people saying how much he's impacted them and how much he's changed their life. And I'm in the same realm as guys like that, and that's just so humbling, and it means the world.
So what is the Defensive Line Foundation?
The Defensive Line Foundation, it's a mental health foundation, suicide prevention foundation, you know, where our mission is to end the epidemic of youth suicide, especially for young people of color, by transforming the way we connect and communicate over mental health. And we're doing that by, we have these suicide prevention programs. We're going into schools, businesses, sports, collegiate sports programs, and we're running these suicide prevention programs to teach people how to make a healthy mental health environment in their program or in their school or in their business. How to have an action plan, you know, when the crisis situations appear, how to look out for warning signs, how to connect with resources in the area that can help you, whether it's therapy, meditation, you know, crisis resources, and just to have the conversation, how to have the conversation. It's something that we're not taught. We're not equipped with the language. We're not taught how to have the conversation, and just how to get this started so we can save lives around us and care for those around us.
How can someone get involved in the Defensive Line Foundation?
You can visit our website at thedefensiveline.org or our Instagram at @thedefensiveline.
It's great stuff that you're doing. Best of luck on the award. Can't wait to see you next season playing in that mean green. And we appreciate you being our guest.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.
And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's welcome in Super Bowl champion head coach. And by the way, new star of the 30 for 30 documentary.
I don't know about that, but yeah, that was great fun, wasn't it?
It was awesome. Brian Billick joins us here on the show on behalf of X-Tech Shoulder Pads. The thing that jumps out to me in watching the 30 for 30 doc, I thought it was shot really cool. Right?
Yeah, it was
different than some of the other ones.
Right, right, right.
What's it like? Tony Siragusa was kind of a little bit of the soul of that team, and obviously he's passed away. What's that like emotionally to watch one of your former players when he's no longer with us?
It was. We shot that in November, the segment over at the Meyerhoff and having all the players together. I hadn't seen Tony for a while. It was great to see him. He was doing great, looked great. Life was good, as it always is with Tony. It was so shocking then when we lost him so close to it. And you're right. Tony was kind of the emotional soul of that team. He was a guy. He was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay. But, boy, when it came time to work during the week, show up on game day, Tony was all in. And that kind of was the tone of that team as well. We know when to work, and we know when we don't have to work and enjoy ourselves. And so from that standpoint, he was the soul of the team and held the others kind of that same standard and just had such a joy for life, a joy for playing that was so important to the success of that team.
This is not me kissing your butt. This is me just being honest from everybody I know in the NFL. You've always had an incredible football mind. And so your evolution of offense when you were with the Vikings kind of took the league by storm. And then obviously you played to the defense with that incredible team. Ray Lewis, one of the all-time great players. But his style of football, does it work in this era?
It does. When you're talking about that great a player. It works in any era. You know, it's pretty good. Ray, too, was one that was incredible. Here's a Hall of Famer. And people need to know, what you saw on Sunday, that was Ray every day. Meetings, locker room, weight room, total commitment to be better, totally focused on what he's doing. And in today's game, you need to have that core. The unique thing about that team, why it was so great, defensively particularly, we had those anchors at every level. You had a Tony Siragusa in the middle. You had a Ray Lewis at that next level. You had Rod Woodson on the back end. So you had those anchors at each of those areas for the team to come around and know, okay, this is the way we're going to practice. This is the way we're going to play. That group, the veteran leadership, as a coach, you loved it. You appreciated it because of the way they practiced, the way they prepared. They took it important. They took it seriously. You had to work with them to know, and I told them from the first day I got there, look, I'm going to keep you fresh, and I'm going to recognize the demands on this game. But when we work, we got to work. That's the only way this thing works. And they bought into that, and they were all in, and when it came time to work, they worked.
The Philadelphia Eagles, obviously up front, offensively and defensively, are outstanding. Overall level of talent, outstanding. Their offense specifically, what Shane Steichen has implemented, is there's a lot of college concepts to it, right? Maybe even you can go single wing concepts. 11-on-11 football is really, really hard on any defense. How do you think Kansas City matches up, considering it's a style you don't see terribly often in the NFL?
Well, and what they do obviously has a uniqueness to it as well. I think both coaches deserve a lot of credit. They have wrapped teams around the personality and the strengths of their quarterback position. You're right. The physicality of Philadelphia, I think, is going to be the difference in the game. I'm not sure Kansas City, and they'll do a good job defensively. They've got their own set of talents there, obviously. But they've not played a team that's as physical on both sides of the ball as Philadelphia. And Patrick Mahomes is a game changer, but in an odd sort of way, I mean, if you get the book on Kansas City is, yeah, you got to stay passive on the back end. Don't give up the big plays. Make them go the length of the field, which they're capable of doing. But that actually, in my opinion, works to the favor of Philadelphia, because if you make them go the length of the field, then when the field gets shorter and they don't have the ability to spread you out and hit the plays in the end zone, make them settle for field goals. Now, if they're chewing up clock offensively rather than scoring quickly, and then you're doing the same thing offensively, now you get to the end of the game, now you got a chance. Now, all of a sudden, you're not, you know, Kansas City's not playing with a 20-point lead. So I think everything about Philadelphia's game should match up, and I think it's what's that, 1 point game, two point game. Yep. So everybody thinks obviously it's going to be tight, but I think Philadelphia matches up uniquely well with Kansas City compared to other teams they've played.
My favorite part of the doc is when you talked about how the defense was upset that 7 points were given up, even though they didn't give up 7 points.
Right, right, and that through the playoffs now, that kickoff return was the only points that New York was able to get. That team was uniquely focused on its legacy, which can be a good thing or a bad thing. In that instance, though, when we were going for the shutout record, when you break the all-time scoring record defensively, you got to have a lot of shutouts. And that team, they wanted that. They wanted that signature of yes, because there's always the debate. What, you know, who's the greatest defense of all time? Is it a Steeler team? And is it the Chicago Bear team? They all live on the same cul-de-sac, as Ozzie Newsome would say, and worthy of the conversation. But that was important. They grasped. They held with that, just like that 98 offense that I had in Minnesota, wanting to break the all-time scoring record. That was important to them, not in a selfish way, but, yeah, we want to make that mark.
Years later, I ask you only about the Vikings thing because I was on a plane listening to the game. Like, it was I was playing at Oklahoma State. We'd just beaten Texas Tech. We're listening to the game, and we had three planes, and I'm relaying the game, the play-by-play to the other planes.
Yeah.
The pain of a field goal kicker who hadn't missed all year missing a kick versus the ecstasy of winning a Super Bowl with one of the dominant defenses of all time. Now, years later, over 20 years later, which is which do you feel more, the loss or the win?
Wow. And I'm always asked, if my Ravens defense had played that Vikings offense. Ooh, that would have been an ass kicker. That would have been an amazing game, because it was just so, the offense was so talented with the people that we had there. You know, it's interesting. It's hard in this profession, and everybody has hard jobs and hard professions. But you get to the point, at least I did, and that's part of the reason, really, I'm not back in the game. Is the losses hang with you longer?
Yeah.
Than the highs of the winning.
Flash.
So to hold it off, you kind of find yourself in that gray twilight, which is no place to be. But that's an unfortunate byproduct of the world we live in. That loss, I don't go a month that someone doesn't bring up that in, and I'm going, well, thank you. I'm just now sleeping through the night. I appreciate you bringing it back up.
I apologize. Well,
but it was also very real.
It was also, that was the rebirth of Randall, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's he would be amazing in these offenses we see now.
Oh my gosh, he was so far ahead of his time. One of my favorite all-time players, Randall Cunningham. Great, great person. It was great to
How did you rebuild him?
You know, it was funny when we brought Randall in, we brought him as a backup. And I remember going to Las Vegas and sitting down with dinner and really wanted to sell him on, now Randall, you're coming in as the backup. And even to the point where he finally said, "Coach, I get it. I'm the backup. You don't have to." So we get Randall in there, and then Brad Johnson gets hurt. And Randall wanted so much to show that he could be a pocket quarterback.
Right.
Because he'd had the label, he can't be that. That's not him. But he was at the stage in his career, it actually got to the point, and people were prepared for, they're going to spy guys. This, and he just was from the pocket and loved it. It actually, at the point we had to tell Randall, if you want to pull it down a couple of times, that's okay, and take off with it. But he was so much wanted to be that guy. He was a joy to work with and embraced the talent around him. He had a lot of talent around him that he knew he had to deal with the personalities and the whole thing. And it was just, it was a joy to see, a joy to be a part of.
You're here on behalf of X-Tech Shoulder Pads. Yeah. How important is the padding in terms of protection for players?
Huge, huge. I mean, we started this thing 12 years ago, and at a unique time when it was the beginning, the height of take the head out of the game.
Player safety. Yeah.
And which means, okay, the shoulder pads become even more important. And the technology that is so replete now through the industry, the way we train, the way we eat, the way you virtual reality practice with players, the technology and the shelves, the padding itself, the way was Teddy Monica built the system, truly unique. Pads hadn't changed in 50 years in Tillex Tech pads, and that's why we're the number one pad in pro football, college football, high school football now. It's great. It's great to see parents getting vested in. This is a great game, but it's a very physical and violent game, and we got to protect the players with good coaching, and they got to have the right equipment. Parents are getting involved. They're going to xtechpads.com because they realize this is the pads young people ought to be in.
He's the one and only Brian Billick. Of course, he was the head coach of one of the all-time great teams, the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. You can see that 30 for 30, and of course, pick up your X-Tech shoulder pads as you can go and purchase them online. Get them tailor-made to your kid. Coach, thanks so much for joining
us. Love it. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, that's it for In the Bonus. Appreciate you listening. What a great show. Make sure you retweet this sucker out. Send a friend. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is In the Bonus.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.